Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, found out the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is October 12, 2016, or it is below 12, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, More About Yahshua. More about Yahshua would I know. Of his grace to heart is shown, of his saving fullness seen, of his love who died for me. More about Yahshua, more about Yahshua, more of his saving fullness seen, of his love who died for me. More about Yahshua let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of Yah, my teacher be, showing the things of Yahshua to me. More about Yahshua, more about Yahshua, more of his saving fullness seen, more of his love who died for me. More about Yahshua in his word, holding communion with my Yah, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Yahshua, more about Yahshua, more of his saving fullness seen, more of his love who died for me. More about Yahshua on his throne, riches and glory all his own. More of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More about Yahshua, more about Yahshua, more of his saving from the sea, more of his love who died for me.
Okay. What brings success to the Revival Reformation? We're going to continue part two. We're in Town of Greeting, Volume 1, Number 10. We're just going to take on where we left off in my last study. We're on page 23. Let's do a little review. On that page, it says, Haggai 2:21-23, speak unto Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. Now, when we say that, that prophecy is meeting its fulfillment today, and will meet its fulfillment in its full. Right here in this 12th parabolic hour that ran, and this... The rubble is nothing, it's actually this antithetical Elijah, the servant of Yahweh now that these prophecies are opening up to. Okay, so it says, speak unto the rubble. So now this is a live prophecy, this is the living word, and it's the only word in the world that is a living word. That comes from the scriptures. So when the prophecies speak today, it speaks to the one that Yahweh has directed it to. And in this case, he's directed this prophecy to me, and so I would represent this antitypical Zerubbabel of our day, the governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdom of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. And that day saith Yahshua of hosts, When I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith Yahweh, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Yeshua of hosts. Okay, let's go to our main prayer thought reading. It's taken from Isaiah 43. But now, thus saith the Yahweh that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by my name, thou art mine. What does it mean that first he said he created Jacob, and he said, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Now, Israel is the same thing as Jacob here. And the first instance is Jacob, and then he said, after he said, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Well, how did he create Adam? He created Adam from the dust of the ground. And then he said, he formed Adam. What's the difference in creating and forming? But in other words, he created him and made a body out of him. Then he put all of his intelligence into him and put all of his wisdom and knowledge and understanding and put all of his gifts, like Adam had the gift to name all the animals. And that's what it means. I have formed thee for a special work. You're not just anybody. I have specially formed you. All right, let's go ahead. Isaiah 43:2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Yahweh, the Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, thy servant. Now watch this here. He says, I am the Yeshua, this is the Son, thy Savior, the Holy One of Israel. Now this is Isaiah identifying Yeshua, the Son. And he says, he's speaking for Yeshua. In other words, this is Yeshua speaking through Isaiah. He says, for I am the Yeshua, thy Savior, the Holy One of Israel. Now, Isaiah mentions the Holy One of Israel, I think, 46 times in his writing. And every time it refers to Yeshua the Son. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. And I have loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say unto the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Well, isn't this amazing? We've got our enemy that's in charge of our government and our land. The Clintons and the Bushes and the Obamas. They've just about got the life suffocated out of this land. But Yahweh is allowing them to open our borders so that they can come from the north and south, east and the west. And indeed they are at this very day. It said they're coming faster than ever because of this election that's coming up here within the next month. And it said they are coming from all over. Well, this is Yahweh's doing. He's allowed these borders to be open. Temporarily, that is, to bring all of these from the north to south, east and west, even everyone that is called by my name. Now he's calling everybody from the north, south, east, and west that are called by his name, he said. But all of them that is coming from the north, south, east, and west are not called by his name. But those that are called by his name are mingled among these people that are coming from the north, south, east, and west. He said, right here, he said, even everyone that is called by my name is in that group. For I have created him for my glory. So everybody that's called by his name, he's bringing him to this country. To the open borders that has just become porous. And the reason for that is, these people have got a work to do. And he said, I've created each one of these that is called by my name. He said, I have created them for my glory. But it says him. I have created him for my glory. Who is this him? This anatypical servant Jacob. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about this Jacob, the one that he formed Israel. First Jacob, and then when Jacob overcomes and gets the anointing and forgiveness, then he gets the name Israel. And it's permanent. That name is permanent from then on. Jacob went down to his grave with that identity as the pure Israel individual. Okay, so now when it says right here in verse 6 of Isaiah 43, I will say unto the north, give up, and unto the south keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. So, what is his name? Yahshua, the Holy One of Israel. Okay? So apparently these preordained people, the 144,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel, which are the descendants of Jacob, then they're the ones that are commingled among all these others that are coming in here. Because the 144,000 is called by his name. And according to Ezekiel 20, they're gathered into the wilderness of the people, which is where we're at today here in Texas. This is a gathering place. Alright? Of course, it says, for I have created him for my glory. So, all those that are called by his name, which is 144,000, this is who he's talking about. But he's gathering them first. He's bringing them first. But he has to bring them with a ragtag bunch of individuals that are not called by his name. Okay? So they're coming in the midst of all that. And it says, I've created him. Each one of those 144,000 individuals, he's created them. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Now, up there in verse 1, it says, I created him, I formed him. And now he says, I have formed him, and now I've made him. Made him is the same thing as created him. Verse 8, Isaiah 43. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is the truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith Yahweh. Who is this? Those that are called by his name, that he has formed and made them for this purpose. And they're the Jacobites, they're the descendants of the 12 sons of Jacob, whom I have chosen. See, he says, ye are my witnesses. Who is that? The 144,000, saith Yahshua. and my servant whom I have chosen, and my servant which is antithetical Jacob, that is now called Israel, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Who is this? The Holy One of Israel, Yahshua. Before me, there was no Savior form. It says God here, but that actually is supposed to be Savior. There was no Savior form. Now, you see this key word formed here? See? There was no God form before me. There was no deity form before me. It says Yahweh is the only, what we call God, head of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the only one. And as far as we know, we have no record of any way that he was formed. That Yahweh was formed. The Bible just plainly says he always was and always will be. But Yahshua was formed. He was created. He was made by the Father. Now that's your difference. So he says, before me there was no God form. What does it mean by that? Well, I'll use that word God so you can understand more clearly what I'm trying to tell you here. In other words, Yahshua says, I am not the God, the Father, as people make me out to be. He said, there's only one, and Yahshua said this, there's only one true Yahweh, and that's my Father. He said, and there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. Because Yahweh the Father that created all, created his son Yahshua and formed him, it's impossible to create a God to replicate the Father. It's impossible. Because Yahweh, how he evolved, I don't know. I don't know how he evolved. But all I know is the Bible says he always was and always will be, and that's just as far as we can go with it. But he is a creator, and he wouldn't create somebody equal to him. He just wouldn't do that. There's no need for it. Why create two people, another, somebody just like you, and then turn around and compete with you for the rulership of the universe? That's what Lucifer, he created Lucifer. Lucifer says, I will be like the Most High. I'll exalt my throne above the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I'll be like him. I cannot be him, but I'll be like him. Well, that's wishful thinking. There's nobody can ever have the power to exalt himself to be like the Father. He can be with him, and he can have the Father dwelling in him, and he can replicate him as far as action-wise and so forth, and healing powers and so forth. But as far as sin, and that's what Yahshua is saying here, the Holy One of Israel. He says, before me there was no deity form, neither shall there be after me. I am the Savior. It says Lord here, but that's supposed to translate into our Redeemer, or I am the ruler of this world. After his death on the cross, yes, he got that position back as the ruler of this world. Okay. And beside me there is no Savior. And it actually uses the word Savior here. I am the Savior. And beside me there is no Savior. I'm the only one. I'm the only Savior that was sent to save this world. And I'm the first begotten of the dead. I'm the first begotten of my Father. And He formed me. He created me. And it says so there in Revelation 3:14, it said, Yahshua, the true witness there in Revelation 1, 5, he said, is the beginning of the creation of the Father. Only the Father has the ultimate power to create and enable people and be procreators. And the only way that people can be procreators is they have to go through the laws of nature to accomplish that. And that's that you have to have two people come together, a man and a woman, and they have to come together, and they procreate another human being. That's how they get on this world. So he said, I have declared, and I have said, and I have showed. This is Yahshua talking. I have declared, and have said, and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, said the Yahweh, that I am the Savior. It says God here. So you see, if you were to then go by the Catholic's interpretation of the Trinity, then you would accept this right here as Yahshua revealing himself as the real God, the Father, which is not so. Can never be. So anyway, it says in Isaiah 43, verse 13, yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Yahshua, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent unto Babylon. Now this is Yahshua talking. You know what they need to do, the translators that publishes the Bible, they need to find out exactly, precisely the words of Yahshua in the Old Testament. And they should put it in red, just like they do the New Testament. All of Yahshua's quote and his own personal saying should be put in red. You'd be surprised at how much the Bible of the Old Testament would be in red if they were to do that. But they're not going to do that. Because they want you to be confused that, what is Jesus really saying here, that I am the God? The supreme God, the supreme ruler? Is that what he's really saying? See, for the most people, they're confused. They don't know. They just said, oh, well, it's unexplainable. Let's just go with the idea that we're dealing with one deity. That's the three in one, and so they just throw up their hands. And have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Yahshua, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Now how about this? Now here it is, Yahshua revealing himself as the Creator of Israel. Well, how do we do that? How do we reconcile that? You can only reconcile it by going back to Genesis chapter 1:26, and where Yahweh the Father is saying to his Son that you're my partner in creation, and you're co-creator with me. So in Genesis 1:26, the Father said unto his Son, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So, now Yahshua is then identified as the co-creator with the Father. So when he comes here in Isaiah chapter 43, when he says right here that verse 14 or 15, I am this Yahshua, your Holy One. The Creator of Israel, your King. Well, we know that Yahshua was made the King of kings and the Sovereign of sovereigns on this earth. So when he said, with his own words, this is Yahshua speaking. So when you pinpoint and say, this is Yahshua speaking and not the Father, Yahweh, then you can get a more clear view of the words of Yahshua. That he has all authority. The Father said he'd given all authority and power unto his Son, even to forgive sins, he said. I've given him the whole thing. I've given him complete ownership of this whole world because he's a co-creator of it. He's a co-creator of all things. So therefore he has the right then to come and replicate me in the saving of this world. So in Isaiah 43:16 it says that, thus saith the Yahshua, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army, and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. That's talking about when the Pharaoh and his army was destroyed in the Red Sea, following after the Israelites to bring them back. They had gotten into the middle of the Red Sea and things began to go bad for them, and they all ended up drowned in the Red Sea. This is what Isaiah is talking about here in Isaiah 43:17. Now let's continue on with verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, and now to consider the things of old? Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now this prophecy is meeting its fulfillment right now with Donald Trump as the main leader. And this new thing is happening in the earth. The earth and prophecy is the United States first and foremost. And this is a new thing that's happening in the earth. And Donald Trump calls it a movement. It cannot be stopped. It cannot be stopped. Verse 20, Isaiah 43:20. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. And it's amazing. You come here into the desert and the wilderness, and you got the dragons, and you got all the different kinds of species crawling up on the ground, and they're having to forage for survival, for food and for water, and there is no water hardly around, and so they have to get their liquids out of plants, and if they don't have no rain, things start drying up, and everything just starts dying, including animals. So he says here, the beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness. So, you know, animals, they're a lot smarter than we give them credit for, and Yahweh is in communication with them, just like he is with the human family. Yahweh communicates with the animals. I mean, he tells them the date they're supposed to start migrating. The fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the creeping things upon the ground. All animals have their built-in radar. They communicate with the Father. Okay. So he says in Isaiah 43:21, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Now hear that word formed again. You get familiar with that word formed. In other words, these people existed. They were created before. But he says, I brought them out of bondage, out of Egyptian bondage, out of Pharaoh's rule down in Egypt. I brought them into the wilderness of the people. I formed them, and I revealed them who they were. And I purged out the rebels from among them here in the wilderness. Got rid of all the riffraff and the Egyptian followers. And those that couldn't be sanctified by the truth, he said, I got rid of them in the wilderness. So he said, that's how I formed my true Israel. By getting rid of their tagalongs that didn't belong. And it says, he formed them for one reason. He formed Israel for one reason. To show forth my praise. Israel is the only viable source in all the world that could possibly fulfill this prophecy of showing forth all his praise. Because he said over in Hosea, I believe, you have I chosen of all the families of Egypt, and another I will not choose. In other words, he said, you're the only one I've chosen of all the families of the Gentile nation. And he said, I chose you out of Egypt because that's where you were at. You were sojourners down there. You had a 430-year sojourning prophecy. And once it was up, he said, I brought you out by a strong hand. My right arm has done this for me. And I brought you in the wilderness of people. And he said, and I formed you there. I set up the sanctuary system. I raised you up a prophet and Moses. And I brought him up into the mount, and I gave him instruction of how to build that sanctuary according to the pattern shown to him in the mount. And he did that, and he said, that's how I was able to form you into a purified nation, is by setting my sanctuary in the midst of you and causing you to walk in my statutes and judgments so that you could be sanctified by the sanctuary services. By following them explicitly according to the law that Moses wrote in a book in Leviticus 23. Alright? So in Isaiah 43:22, he said, but thou hast not called upon me. He said, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. So now he says, when Jacob was in his sinful state, he says, you didn't call upon me. And he says, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. You descendants of Jacob, that's called to my name Israel. So, Yahshua has also another name. And that name, I would say, is you could add to his other names, is Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of my burnt offering, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. And so he says, thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with my sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. No, with thy sins. I said my sins. I'll read that again. He said, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. So this high priest, Yahshua, this is a New Testament prophecy. This is for the last days. This is not for the Old Testament. So Yahshua is reigning in the heavenly sanctuary as a high priest, and he's there on a daily basis to receive the repentance and prayers from with the incense from off the altar and to pardon iniquity and sin. But he says, if you don't bring in my offering, if you don't come and offer a sacrifice of praise or whatever, thank of and recognize me on a daily basis, he says, you're making me serve in the heavenly sanctuary as a high priest with thy sins. He says, thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. He says, you wearied me. You won't come to me at the appointed time daily to get your sins and iniquities purged and blotted out. You wearied me with them. Here I am sitting here waiting on you. And you don't come before me and offer your petition so I can receive with the blood of sprinkling that comes from my wounds in my hand, he says, in the heavenly sanctuary during this time. I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for my own sake, and will not remember thy sin. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together, declare thou, that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father has sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. What does it say? Thy first father has sinned. Okay, now who was that first father It says first one now. Who was the first father that had sinned? Adam. Therefore, I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and have given Jacob unto the curse and Israel to reproaches. He's talking about the 10 tribes that went into captivity in 721 because of their apostasy. They are separated from the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, in the south. So Yahweh allowed the Syrians that they were living among and with and alongside of them and getting along with them as neighbors. He allowed them to rise up and take the children of Israel captive in their own land. And then Judah played the harlot, and she did the same thing as Israel did, the 10 tribes. Before her, so in 605 B.C., Yahweh sent Nebuchadnezzar down with the king of Babylon to take and start turning them away into Babylonian captivity. Because they had stopped following the sanctuary system to get their sins blotted out. They went through mockery of performing their vows and offerings and so forth on altars that were set up in the groves and the high places. You know, they went out, but it was all vain offerings and vain glory. They didn't get no forgiveness of sins with that operation. Okay, it says. That brings the end of our prayer thought in Isaiah 43. So as you can see, there's a lot of rich information here in the Isaiah. Every chapter, 66 chapters, is full of rich information that we need to familiarize ourselves with every day and read the Bible every day, and more so as the day approaches. All right, that ends our prayer thought. And now we're going to try to continue now with our study from Time of Greeting, Volume 1, Number 10. And we're going to continue on with the thought that what brings success to the Revival and Reformation. We're going to try to find what brings success to the Revival and Reformation. Now keep in mind that you've only had... You only have a revival reformation when you have a new movement start up. That's the only time you have a revival reformation. You have to revive the spirit and reform the practices because the people from the previous movement have apostatized and finally come to their end. That's the reason why you have to have a new movement. And you have to have a revival of the spirit in order to do that. So when Yahweh sent Moses down into Egypt. That started for Israel's long 3,500-year sojourn from then on, from 1500 B.C. up to now. It's about 3,500 years. And so they've had 5 movements. Israel has had 5 movements in the last 3,500 years take place. Okay, it says... Here we are told that in the day Yahweh destroys the strength of the heathen kingdom, which even is yet future, he makes ancient Zerubbabel a signet. What does signet mean? Of a Zerubbabel in the day the strength of the kingdoms is destroyed. Again we read in Zechariah 2:5, 11, and 13. For I said to Yahweh, it will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her, and many nations shall be joined unto the Yeshua in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Yeshua of the host, this is the Savior, the Holy One of Israel, has sent me unto thee. Okay, be silent, O all flesh, before the Yahweh, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Now when Yahshua met Moses at the burning bush, he said, it's time to go down into Egypt and to deliver my people. This is Yahshua talking about the Son. And he says, and no doubt, Yahshua had come to that burning bush. He was right there in the midst of the desert. And there was Moses herding sheep right around that burning bush and didn't even know, wasn't maybe totally aware that Yahshua's presence was right there. Because he told Moses, put off your shoes, you're on holy ground. That was holy ground. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Yahshua, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. The wall which the Jews built around Jerusalem in Zechariah's day was of stone, but the one here predicted is to be of the fire. Far superior, rendering absolute security unto the inhabitants that are within. Moreover, no other people, none beside the Jews, were permitted to join the builders of the Jerusalem in his day. But in our day, many nations are to join. Furthermore, at the fulfillment of these prophecies, Yahshua requests that all flesh reverently and silently note that he is raised up out of his holy habitation, that he is now visiting the earth. Okay, so when Yahshua rises up out of his holy habitation, then that's when he comes to this earth and he visits this earth. Zechariah 2:8. For thus saith the Yahshua of the host, this is the Son, after the glory, after the church eternal, hath he sent me unto the nation, which spoiled you. For he that touches you touches the spirit or the apple of his eye. In Zechariah's day, the Yahshua did not send anyone unto the nations after anything. But in our day, he is the sin antitypical Zechariah, interpreter of Zechariah's prophecies. So this antitypical Zechariah is none other but this antitypical Elijah, Malachi 4:5. And he has another name called David in the spirit and power of the Elijah, Malachi. So this Zechariah is none other because Tehillah confirms that thought that I just brought out there in Zechariah 3. He said, in the rod, Tehillah says, Joshua the son of Josedek, there in Zechariah 3, is antitypical David. Okay. So Zechariah's prophecy, just like Ezekiel has a prophecy for antitypical David. Zechariah has a prophecy for antitypical Elijah David, for the Elijah of today. You get the point? Alright, let me say it now. Zechariah 2:12. And the Yahshua shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. When the nation join the Yahshua in the Holy Land, then it is that he shall inherit Judah and again choose Jerusalem. And most significant of all, he declares that he is already raised up out of his holy habitation to accomplish all these things. Zechariah 8:7, 20-21. Thus saith Yahshua, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. Thus saith Yahshua, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities and the inhabitants of one country or one city shall go unto another saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Yahshua and to seek the Yahshua of hosts. I will go also. So what are they going speedily to do? To pray before the Lord here, and it says, and to seek the Yahshua of hosts. So apparently the Father and the Son are going to be here because this first Lord is talking about the Father. So apparently, according to Zechariah 14, the latter-day prophecy, the Father and the Son are present on that mountain. Well, Micah 4 bears this out, 4:1-3, and Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1-3 bears this out. That the Father and the Son are there on that mountain, Mount Zion. Alright? So it says, they're going to say, to pray before the Yahweh and to seek the Yahshua of hosts. All right. I will go also. Okay, now this word seek, that they're going to come to pray before the Father, and to seek Yahshua, because they know that he's there walking around up on Mount Zion. You know that the Son is there also. So what does Hosea have a collaborate with this prophecy? Hosea chapter 3. He corroborates with Isaiah on that. He says, then said Yahshua unto me, go ye, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Yahweh toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I brought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an homer of barley and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without the teraphim. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek, there's your key word, seek the Yahshua their Savior, and David their King, and shall fear the Yahweh, the Father, and his goodness in the latter days. So what's the Father's goodness? Number one, the Father's goodness is his Son, Yahshua. And then all of those that are joined to his Son, Yahshua, that start with 144,000. That's the Father's goodness that he has produced. So they both have to be here on the same. So, when we're reading here in our study, here in Isaiah 8, verse 7, 20 and 21, where it says, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Father, Yahweh, and to seek the Yahshua of hosts. Well, Hosea, I just got through reading it. Hosea 3, 4, and 5. Just got through reading it to you. He says the same thing. I will go also. For the prophet's attention was directed unto a time when the Yahshua is to gather his people from both the east and west, and to a time when one city's inhabitants will invite another to go to the Holy Land. This same prophecy appears in both Isaiah's prophecy 2 and Micah chapter 4. That's what I told you earlier, Micah 4 and Isaiah 2, and I didn't even know this was here at the time. Isaiah 8, 22, 23. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Yahshua of hosts. Okay, many people now. So how they know that Yahshua is there in Jerusalem? Because Yahweh raised up Elijah with the interpretation and understanding of the prophecies, and he's out teaching these prophecies, and so they're excited about it. And to pray before the Yahshua, this is the Yahshua of hosts. In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take a hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take a hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that that the Father is with you. Obviously, the 10 men are a representative figure of the universality, as a body will speak all the languages of the nation. They're taking hold of the one that is a Jew, antitypical David, antitypical Jacob, and saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that Elohim is with you. Definitely points out that someone, a descendant of the apostolic Jews, I put apostolic in place of Christian here, will proclaim Yahweh's end-gathering message in the time of the end, in the time of the beginning of the end, which is in the 12th parabolic hour. And we have entered into the 12th parabolic hour since 2002. Let us now turn to Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. In these prophecies is brought to view the first advent of the Yahshua. Time of Greetings, Volume 1, Number 10. Zechariah 9:10, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. That is, Yahweh was to bring the ancient kingdoms, Ephraim and Jerusalem, Israel and Judah, to an end, and then turn to the Gentiles and speak salvation unto them. Thus shall his dominion be over all the earth. Zechariah 12:3-9. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And that day shall the Yahshua defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as a David, and the house of David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. So you can be as the God, the Father, you can be as him, but you cannot be him, there's only one. But you can be like him, or as him, you can be empowered with the same power to do what he does. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. But that's what's going on right now. That is, after this integrating the disintegrating the ancient kingdoms, Israel and Judah, he is again to reestablish and unify them as depicted in Ezekiel 36 and in other portions of the scriptures. At that time, Jerusalem, the city of the saints, is to become a burdensome stone for all the people of the earth. That is, they will hate the city and its inhabitants and will attempt to take it, but instead they will be cut in pieces. This is a type of Lucifer at the end of the millennium, whenever he encamps around the holy city and rallies all of his people that have been resurrected there, the trillions of them, to surround the city. This is a type here in the last days of all the nations coming against Israel today. This is a type of Lucifer making one last rally to come against Jerusalem and at the end of the millennium when the holy city comes down. This is a type. For the Yahweh will defend his people. Then it is that even the most feeble among the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be as willing, as daring, and as capable as was ancient David. And the house of David, the kingdom that is to be set up, which is but the purified, church purified, no sinners among them, Isaiah 52:1, shall be as the angel of the Yahweh before the people. Since Zechariah prophecy met only partial fulfillment in the days that the Jews returned from the Babylon unto Jerusalem, and since his writings speak interchangeably of another such movement, the which is to be greater than the former, and that movement right now is underway with Donald Trump since 2015, that's when this movement started. With Donald Trump's campaign to become President of the United States when he threw his hat in the ring, the which is to be greater than the former. And this great movement of the fifth group of laborers that I represent, the House of David, this movement, also the fifth and last movement for Israel, joins up with this here Cyrus, this antitypical Cyrus Donald Trump's movement. These two join together. There's a time when they join together. The which is to be greater than the former. There is therefore no doubt but that the latter is the antitype of the former. Hence, the revival and reformation of the Zechariah's time is to repeat in our time. The builder's failure to continue with the work and to bring revival and reformation before Haggai and Zechariah were called to the prophetic office, and their success after Elohim through the prophets took over, perfectly demonstrates that without the living spirit of the prophecy in the midst, no revival and reformation efforts can succeed. And that it is why they all heretofore have failed. The type also perfectly demonstrates that Yahweh, since Yahweh has now risen from his holy habitation, or Yahshua the Son, and has taken the reins in his own hands. He did that at Kermit, Texas, 2002, at the Passover. His own hands, revival reformation is sure to triumph. It is therefore useless to agitate revivals and reformation while one knows not what and how actually to revive or to reform. It is commendable to hold up the standards, but it is certainly not in Yahweh's order for one to work up something and to call it revival and reformation. In conclusion, let us summarize that the two main points which our study of the afternoon has definitely made clear unto us. Number one, that a work of and movement similar to those of Zechariah's day is successfully to bring revival and reformation among Elohim's people of today. That those who expect the promised blessing must wholeheartedly enter into it. Number two, that without the living spirit of prophecy in our midst, there can be no success in any revival and reformation, and that the sooner we know it, the quicker we shall achieve our goals. Well, that's the end of Time to Dream, Volume 1, Number 10. And how fitting it is, we're also at the end of our study. So, folks, click on the audio archives and hear this message. And we had some new things that came out, and especially all nations coming against Jerusalem to battle here in the last days. In Zechariah 14 is a type of all the nations under Lucifer at the end of the millennium when he rallies the vast throngs of the lost sinners that have been resurrected, and that he has trillions of them going to surround the holy city. That's the antitype of all nations today coming against Jerusalem. Read Zechariah 14 for the summation of this study. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archives. Hear this message and more. We're going to close now with a song. Eternal Home by the Elijah Davis song that I've written. Lights from heaven shining down, lost my pathway on the ground. Don't want to let that light shine into my soul. I'll sing praises to His name, and I'll never ever be the same. For I make heaven my eternal home. Eternal home, the things I see. Eternal home, for heaven reigns. Eternal home, with joy divine. Eternal home, forever mine. Well, I met the Savior one day. Savior does appear, we shall be